Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 11th of October, recording at 8:26 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, what about that article by Mark Farber? I thought it was very, very interesting. I also felt that the statistics on oil usage per capita and the growth rates that we have seen with other developing countries was absolutely compelling when you think about how low it is in both China and India, and given the size of those two countries' populations. So, in my view, and subscribers will be well aware of this, that will I maintain that we're not going back to the days of cheap oil as much as we'd like to, and that prices are in a secular bull market, and that does mean that they will eventually go a lot higher than most people are currently expecting, as Mark Farber said. Now, in the short term, though, we have accelerating trends, which I wrote about at length, in terms of what to actually look for, but my feeling is that this move is becoming climactic on a short to medium term basis, and that we are weeks, if not days, a few weeks, if not a few days, away from another peak and another reaction in the oil price. But the more important points that I wanted to just to touch on in this audio is what would it mean if we saw the price of oil, say, well above $100 a barrel? Assuming that that occurred, let's say, in the next few years. And my feeling is that it's pretty obvious that that would weigh very heavily on stock markets. You might say oil shares accepted, but I think that if the price spiked higher, that the oil shares would not move upwards accordingly, because they would be dragged back by the general overall market weakness. And also, I think investors would conclude that prices were just not going to be maintained at that level, because it was going to cut off consumption, or certainly reduce consumption, lead to reduced consumption, I'm trying to say. Elsewhere, you could say that bonds might possibly do well. Initially, they probably would, as a sort of safe haven, as stock markets were tumbling. But that then leads on to the question, and of course, we'd probably get lower interest rates to offset the economic downturn that would almost certainly occur, given a really big spike in the oil price that wasn't a now you see it, now you don't event. I think also, as far as central banks are concerned, my feeling is that faced with the prospect of very high oil prices for the foreseeable future, that I have little doubt that they would print like mad. And that would be a good way of, the oil-producing countries have obviously got the asset, the goods that the rest of the world requires. So let's pay for it in a devaluing currency. Makes it less painful. So I don't think there's any question that that would happen, and that would add to the growing inflationary pressures that we're actually seeing. So I think if we saw a recession, we'd almost certainly see a stagflation type of environment. And we are definitely in my view, a cycle of gradually expanding inflationary pressures. Now, as I've said before, I don't think any of us who pay household bills trust the government statistics on inflation, nor should we, just because the cost of some toy coming out of China or a mobile phone or whatever is remaining the same or going down. That doesn't mean that the inflation is low as far as your household bills are concerned, although it may well help to keep the price of the statistics that governments choose to comment on in check. And I think we can also conclude, as I've said before, that the area where we're likely to see the least inflation is in manufactured goods. So that's good news, but everything else can go through the roof, and I suspect that it will over time. Last but not least, then, Mark Faber ended his article, if you opened it up to read the full article, talking about oil over $100 a barrel laying the foundation for World War III. Well, let's hope not, and that certainly need not be the case, but obviously it would lead to a scramble for these scarce oil reserves. It could well revive Cold War type pressures. It's not a nice scenario, depending on when it actually occurs, of course, and how prepared the world is to counter this with other alternatives. And anything in the next 5 to 10 years, and that's when I think we are going to see a real pinch, and the world is not very prepared and as far as the alternatives are concerned. And the United States, as you know, is sitting on some of the biggest reserves of coal in the entire world. But it would need to perfect clean coal technology to not make the increased usage of coal an environmental disaster. Then there would also be problems in terms of the actual mining of coal. It would not be popular in most communities to see the sort of strip mining and deep pit mining that would actually be required to get to this coal, let alone clean it up for power stations. The more ready solution is nuclear, but countries are slow off the mark on this, and I think governments are going to have to get very active in terms of encouraging the nuclear industry, and I don't see any evidence that the United States is doing that, you know, let alone parts of Europe and the UK. So I think this is going to be a very big story. Needless to say, in a secular bull market, we'll be wanting to play oil from the long side quite a lot. I currently would be very careful because I think that we are, as I say, heading to at least a short-term peak, and the higher oil goes in the short term, and I see no evidence that it's peaked as yet, as you know, but the higher it goes in the short term, the more or the sharper the subsequent reaction is likely to be. And that would pull oil down, of course, pull all the products down, pull natural gas down, and that would, I suppose, that would create another good buying opportunity, and I will certainly want to be there. So at least we can, in the markets, we can always hedge against whatever is going to be taking place, and you know, you've heard me say so many times, you and I can only deal with the reality that markets provide. So I'm not going to go in for any hand-wringing over what might happen or might not happen. It's just, let's keep our eye on the ball, let's look at the charts, see what does take place, and protect our investments accordingly. Take advantage of the opportunities that markets actually present. Okay, what can we say now about, let's go through a just general review here, starting with stock markets. The action that we saw on Thursday and Friday in the United States was not encouraging because the indices saw some downward dynamics or failing to maintain some upward breaks. And two of the crucial factors that I had mentioned in terms of a good year-end rally were that oil would be closer to $40, let alone not be above $50. Well, obviously that one's been torpedoed. And the other factor, say, I wasn't forecasting that that's where oil would be, but I said that that's where we need oil to get this good, strong rally throughout year. And I think what I've been saying all along on oil is that there was no evidence that the move was over. It got overextended, we'd get a correction, but still you had that big underpinning of support that you can see on those three charts that I posted on the website today. So the oil price is at the wrong level for a strong year-end stock market rally. It could back off, and I think we will get some reaction, so that could keep the fourth quarter rally hopes alive. The other factor is that the U.S. presidential election, since the first debate, has gone from looking like a case of Bush pulling away and an easy, comfortable victory to a horse race. And that is already being factored into the markets somewhat. So really, the script for strong stock markets in the fourth quarter, I think, really does hang on that next correction in the price of oil occurring fairly soon, and with the price staying beneath its highs for long enough, really to not have oil be a major source of concern once again. And it does require Bush pushing back in front in the polls with a clear lead. Now, of those two, oil is by far the most important. The other factor is interest rates that I've mentioned before, but the very high price of oil has certainly limited the extent to which central banks will move interest rates up in the short term. So it's a risky environment in here, and it's been a risky environment pretty well all year long. Going on to government bonds. Now, they had that upward dynamic on Friday, or the U.S. Treasuries had that upward dynamic triggering my stop, and they closed just where the stop was hit at 112.05. JGBs are edging up a little bit, so I'm seeing a bit of profit erosion there. I do have an in-the-money stop, but it would be disappointing to see that get stopped out, but that may well be the case. I'm not taking any risks when I get a market that moves quickly in my favor. I have the opportunity to either grab the profit, which I didn't, or to let it run, hopefully, and continue in a direction in my favor. Now, if I get stopped out, well, then I haven't lost any money, and I can always regroup and look for other opportunities there or elsewhere. So I'll always defend that type of strategy, although it will shake me out of a fair number of positions. But overall, I'm looking for opportunities to sell long-dated government bonds, not buy them. Now, moving into the currency markets, this euro that I've been putting under the microscope by posting a number of daily charts in here, we've seen the euro having pushed up to a high earlier today of 124.23, getting up to the highs that we'd seen the week earlier, then backed off again, and as I speak, trading at 123.80, but it still got to take out that 122.25 really reaffirm resistance just above this 124 level. And I'll give the upside the benefit of the doubt until I actually see that type of downward move. Now, in terms of, and I realized with stock markets I didn't mention levels here today. We had a mixed performance out of Asia, but mostly more on the downside, although nothing heavy in terms of what I saw. Ditto Europe, small declines here on the day for the most part. And Wall Street shows modest gains, 25 in the Dow as I speak, 2 in the S&P, 7 in the NASDAQ. Now, moving on to the metals markets, commodity markets in general, this remains by far the most interesting area in my view. And you know, I bought that tin was it Thursday or Friday? And that had a range today of 91.50, where I picked it up, and 92.50 closed at 92.40, up $45. So steady within this overall trading range. Tin and zinc were the only metals to close with gains today. The others showed small declines among the industrial metals, and it looks like most of the precious metals and closed with small declines in here today. But gold at 422.05 is down down 73 cents on the day. Silver closed at 724. That's down just a 1.2 cents. So, but these are very, very steady patterns overall, and they look to me like they're going to go higher, and there would have to be a shock, in inverted commas, to cause them to react. Now, that could easily occur if we were to see a big downward dynamic, like a key day reversal on the oil price, and sharp bout of profit taking in the oil price. I would expect the metals to weaken against that background. Have an excellent evening. Oh, one more thing I needed to mention. Yes, grains. You know, I have a position there in corn and a bigger position in soybeans. Now, corn has just been drifting here, and it was up a quarter today, quarter of a cent, 204 and three quarters on the December contract. Soybeans were stronger. I'm looking at the November contract price, and they were up 10.5 cents in here at 539, and this pattern is rounding, but we haven't seen anything in the way of upward dynamics that would indicate a bear squeeze. Have a good evening.